invite you to hear these words that come to us from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, let me ask you, how many hours are in a day, right? 24. How many days in a week? 7. Well, have you ever felt that those aren't enough? Like 24 hours in a day, you need more hours in a day. You'd like to have more days in a week. Have you ever felt that? I mean, things can get crazy. And we spend a lot of time simply being busy. Busy with work or errands or family or children or grandchildren, driving, social media, stuff, you know, all kinds of, even church, all kinds of things. You know, we got our children, we got to make sure, or our grandchildren, we got to make sure they're here, there, or everywhere. They're so busy these days themselves. Now, when my kids were younger and all of them were at home, I mean, they would just wear me out. I mean, there was each and every day someone had to be somewhere. And this is what happens when you have 4 kids, okay? But someone had to be somewhere at some point almost every day of the week. Now, we didn't let them do a lot of stuff, but still, it was a lot. And if that wasn't happening, you know, I'd come home from church or wherever, and this was especially when they were smaller, you know, I'd get home and be like, Dad, Dad, can you do this? Can you help me with that, Dad? And I was like, whew, I was just worn out. I was glad they went to bed, you know, finally. Now, you know, my kids are older now, and they're still always someone or something vying for my attention, all right? Again, work, family, church. And so it can feel like there's never enough time. And it's why sometimes I feel like, I need to start my morning like this. Take a look. I heard that's actually the new Stanley Cup that they're getting ready to release next week. But I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, this is how I feel sometimes at the end of the day. You know, we are busy people, aren't we? All right? We can be overcommitted, overextended, and simply wear ourselves out. There's not enough hours in a day. And even if you're retired, I've heard retirees tell me, I'm busier now than I was before I retired. It can happen. The Gallup organization did a study of 7,500 full-time employees. And they asked people, you know, how they wrestled with burnout. Are they wrestling with burnout? And this is what they found. 23% of full-time employees felt burned out very often or always. Another 44% felt burned out some of the time, and 77% of the employees in the United States feel burned out at least some of the time in their workplace. Now, that's just the workplace. That's not counting anything beyond that, family or home, whatever it might be. And then, so they were asked, you know, why are they feeling burned out? And this was some of the answers. Unmanageable workloads, unreasonable time pressure. And then simply, I'm tired. I'm physically and emotionally exhausted. I was reading an article by Brené Brown. You may recognize that name. She's a sociologist. She's written books, bestseller. She was talking about burnout, and she quoted, she said, I heard a priest tell me one time or say to me one time, if you don't want to burn out, stop living like you're on fire. It's true. We can feel burned out emotionally, physically, spiritually. We don't feel like we have enough hours in the day. Spinning plates, got too many plates spinning. Everything, and because of it, everything suffers. We are no longer the person that we want to be. Our physical health suffers. Our relationships suffer. Everything suffers. Even our relationship with God suffers. You know, this week I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he was asking, hey, what are you preaching on? And I was telling him what I was preaching on. this week, and he said, you know what, several years back, you know, I was overcommitted. I was, you know, just extended myself too much, and I could tell that my wife wasn't really, really happy. I mean, she was very unhappy at that moment, and I can remember saying something offhand to her, like, have you ever thought of leaving me? And he said, my wife responded very quickly, listen, I've already divided the furniture. So this is what we're talking about today. We're continuing in our series on the Ten Commandments, and we come to the fourth commandment. It's God's response to the craziness in our lives. Now, I said, you know, every week we're trying to memorize these Ten Commandments, so let's start with the fourth one. All right, well, say it with me. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy, all right? Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. Now, again, this is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. All right, it was received by God, received by Moses on Mount Sinai, given to Moses by God there. Now, if you recall the children of Israel, prior to that, they had been slaves in Egypt, right? Do you remember the story? It was under, I think it was during the time of Ramses II. All right, he was the Pharaoh there in Egypt, and during his reign, he was involved in massive building projects. He wasn't building the pyramids, I think those happened before him, but he still had his own massive building projects. And most of them were built out of bricks. Well, guess who made the bricks? The Israelite slaves. All right, they made the bricks from the mud and the straw there. And so they worked from sun up to sun down 7 days a week to make as many bricks as possible. This is what they were forced to do. They didn't have any days off. I mean, actually, nobody had a day off back then. Okay, and maybe the wealthy would take time off, but slaves and just regular people, nobody had a day off. Everybody always worked. The Israelite slaves, their work was making these bricks. And it gets to the point where Pharaoh says, okay, all right, I want you to make the bricks, but I also want you to gather the mud and the straw to make the bricks. Now, somebody else was doing that before them. But Pharaoh says, you know, I need this workforce to focus on another work project. All right, so not only make the bricks, you Israelites, you gather the straw and the mud to make the bricks, and also you got to make as many bricks as you did before. So he sort of doubles the workload on them. And so we read in Exodus, it says, the slave masters drove them hard and said, make sure you make the same daily quota as when you had straw. And so again, being forced to work from sunup to sundown in these very difficult conditions, impossible conditions really. And so you can never get all that they had to do done. But we know the story, don't we? God liberated the slaves. God sends Moses, okay, and through the plagues and all of that, God delivers the Israelites through the Red Sea, all that good stuff. Takes them 3 months to journey from the Red Sea, though, to Mount Sinai there. And it's interesting, along the way, what God does. So as they are wandering in the wilderness, you know, there's not enough food for everybody, so God provides. God provides what? Remember? Manna from heaven, this sort of white crystal-like substance that came down with the dew in the morning, and so they would collect it, and they would make food from it. But then, it's interesting, he said, all right, every day, all right, there'll be manna from heaven. But on Friday, he says, I'm going to give you twice as much manna as you need, so I want you to collect it, and I want you to prepare food on Friday, because Saturday, I want it to be your day off. I want Saturday to be a day of rest for you. Now, this was the first time in human history that we know of that any people were ever given a day off. And a day off each week, okay? Up until this point, you know, if you were an agrarian society, you know, the cow still needed to be milked, the crops still needed to be brought in, the flocks still needed to be shepherded, all those kinds of things. And yet, God says, you know what, I want you to have one day that you are resting and renewing and revering me. This is what I want you to do. Okay, and this was before the Ten Commandments, okay? So God was telling the Israelites, I want you to rest before the Ten Commandments had even been given. It's not until on Mount Sinai that God formalizes this commandment. And if you have ever read them in Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy, I think chapter 5, it is the longest of all 10 of the commandments. When you read the whole thing, we're just going to memorize just the the small portion, but I want us to see the whole commandment. All right, here it is. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. That's what I want us to memorize. But in 6 days, here's the rationale though for it. For 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrants who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it, in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now again, no other ancient Near Eastern God, no other mythological figure, no other king or ruler had ever that we know of, all right, said, I want you to rest 1 day out of each week. No one until this point said, hey, you human beings, you need a day off. You need a day of rest. You need a day to renew, a day of recreation, a day of reconnecting with God or showing reverence to God. Nobody had ever said that before. So this is something brand new to humanity, really. And so it's profound in lots of ways. And again, it wasn't just for the Israelites. Did you notice that? It wasn't just for the Israelites. It was for the mothers and the fathers, for their children. Right? You were to let your servants have a day of rest. You were to let the immigrants have a day of rest. You were to let the animals have a day of rest. The pastures needed a day of rest. The trees and the orchard needed a day of rest. Everything was to rest. Which is just what Sabbath means. Sabbath, as close as we, you know, as near as we know or understand, Sabbath means cease or rest. And so it's a remarkable kind of commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. That's the fourth commandment. Now, do you remember the first three? Because I want us to memorize these. Remember the first three? Let's see if we can do it. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make yourself an idol. Do not make an idol for yourself. Do not use the Lord's name in vain, or do not use the Lord's name as though it were of no consequence or significance. And then the fourth one, right? Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. Right. And if you remember, I said the first four commandments have everything to do with our relationship with God. And then the next six have everything to do with how we relate to one another. And I said it was ordered that way on purpose because we needed to get our relationship right with God in order to be able to have the right kind of relationships with one another. All right. But the fourth one is kind of the transition one. All right. Because I believe it is because it has everything to do with the next six that we're going to look at. Now, I don't know if you've also noticed, but if you ever noticed this about the Ten Commandments, that later on in the law, there are penalties if you did not, you know, adhere to the commandment or if you disobeyed the commandment. And there's one associated with the fourth commandment here about keeping the Sabbath. It's not found in Exodus 20. It's actually found later on in Numbers 15. But if you did not keep the Sabbath, the penalty of that was actually death. Believe it or not, it was death. Sounds rather harsh, doesn't it? All right? That God would command people to be put to death if they didn't keep the Sabbath. But here's the thing. I don't think it was that God was wanting to put people to death. All right? What I think God was trying to impress upon the Israelites is that this is important. This is serious. All right? I have claimed this day as my day. All right? I'm giving it to you as a gift because you need it. You need to rest. But I know how you are. I know you want to go back to work. I know you're going to let other stuff impinge upon this day. You're going to get tempted to go to work, to work in your crops, to tend the flock, whatever, to sell items in the marketplace. I know how you are. So you know what? I'm going to threaten you with death because it's that important and that serious. And when you think about it, I think it's, you know, there's a metaphorical understanding in this as well. And that is, you know, if you refuse to pay attention to the Sabbath or follow the Sabbath, guess what? You know, if you're going to work 7 days a week, if you're not going to rest, renew, or do any of those, reconnect to God, you're going to run the pace that you're always running, you're not going to rest, you're going to kill yourself. God's not going to do it. Right? You're going to do it to yourself. You're going to find that your relationships suffer, your family suffers, again, your spiritual life suffers. If you're going to live like this and ignore the Sabbath, you're going to run yourself to death. And so God says, remember the Sabbath and treat it as holy. Now, for Christians, Sabbath is what? It's a Sunday. Why is Sunday our Sabbath? Well, because Christ, Jesus, was resurrected from the dead on Sunday. Okay, so every Sabbath is a re-commemoration. It is a re-celebration of Easter. We call Sundays mini Easters, all right? And so what do? We celebrate the Sabbath, we gather together, and we worship in person, online, but we take time to connect to God, to revere God, to worship God. Now, our Jewish friends, their Sabbath is from sunset on Friday to about an hour after sunset on Saturday. And that's based on Genesis chapter 1, right? God created for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God decided to rest. All right? And so our Jewish friends put the day of rest at the end of the week. We put the day of rest at the beginning of the week. But still the same thing. Remember the Sabbath and treat it as holy. Now, again, as I mentioned, part of keeping that Sabbath is doing what? It is to be directed toward God, to connect to God, to revere God, to worship God. All right? That's what we do. That's why I believe worship is very important. That routine, that rhythm, making it a part of your Sabbath. It's why we come, we gather, we remember who we are, whose we are. We're renewed by the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can go out and we can reflect the image we were created in, so we can live for God. It's part of keeping the Sabbath. But as we also know, Sabbath is also about rest. Now, the commandment doesn't specify how to rest, okay? I think it recognizes that we all rest differently. It just simply points to the need for this. Our bodies need to rest, right? Our minds need to rest. Our spirits need to rest. I like the illustration by Stephen Covey. He calls it sharpening the saw. He says if you're cutting wood, it makes sense to stop every once in a while and sharpen the saw. If the saw gets dull, you will be working a lot harder than you have to and not get as much accomplished. Sharpening the saw is all about getting rest and renewal. Now, Sabbath doesn't rest, and Sabbath doesn't mean we don't do anything. Right? Jesus is a great example of this. If you remember, one of the things that the Jewish religious leaders always got upset about with Jesus was what he did or didn't do on the Sabbath, right? He didn't follow the letter of the law. Instead, what did he do on the Sabbath? Well, he healed people on the Sabbath, okay? He tended to the needs of others on the Sabbath. Jesus even taught on the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus did good on the Sabbath. He just didn't lay around and do nothing. And as it's recorded in Mark's gospel, Jesus said the Sabbath was created for humans. Humans were not created for the Sabbath. Right? So it is a gift to us. Why? Because God recognizes that we need it to rest, to revere God, to renew, to do good. And then, come on, this is not new stuff. We know this, right? But I will tell you, out of all the Ten Commandments that we haven't talked about so far, all that remain, including this one, this is the toughest one for me. Let me just say. All right? This is the one I struggle with the most. I mean, I'm not thinking about killing anybody. All right? I don't have any thoughts about adultery. I'm not planning on stealing anything. I'm not going to, I don't want to bear false witness. Coveting now, okay, that might be a little bit of a problem. I've been thinking a lot about getting, a new TV for the home. So I struggle with that one. But generally, these other commandments are not really that big of an issue for me. Although in the coming weeks, I think what we're going to recognize is they're probably a bigger issue than we think. But out of all the, really, this is the one probably I struggle with the most. I mean, there's many times when my schedule is so full, I'm overcommitted. I kind of feel like a hamster on one of those wheels. Have you seen it? Sort of like this one. Remember, felt like that hamster. But did you notice what the hamster did? Hamster's on that wheel, run around, get thrown off. What does the hamster do? Get right back on the wheel. Sort of a lot like us, isn't it? We know it, but then what do? We get right back on the wheel. So that's what gets in the way of the Sabbath. But, you know, I will say for me, it can be the overscheduling, overcommitted. But then the other time, I'll tell you how I struggle with the Sabbath is I can, instead of really enjoying the day of a Sabbath, I can simply be lazy, okay? Now, let me tell you, there's a difference between rest and laziness, okay? Resting because you're exhausted, resting because you're tired is one thing, because what is it doing? It's refreshing you, it's renewing you. Being lazy, though, is different. Laziness doesn't give you energy. Laziness supports apathy or indifference, or it lacks enthusiasm for the things you lack the enthusiasm for doing things that you love that do renew and refresh you. See, true rest is actually restorative, refreshing, renewing. I was reading an article this week, and it said this. It says, while laziness is the indulgence of self, rest is enjoyed for the glory of God and the good of others. Our problem doesn't always lie in what we're doing, but in how we're doing it. Laziness yields selfishness. Rest readies for service. Laziness procrastinates and avoids our responsibilities. Rest re-energizes us to undertake those responsibilities. See, there's a difference between remembering the Sabbath and simply being lazy. Not connecting with God, not going to worship, not investing in relationships, not doing good, not doing anything that refreshes, renews, or restores. Now again, how we observe the Sabbath is different from all of us. I'm not saying that you have to remember the Sabbath in a specific way. But I do believe it incorporates this connecting with God. All right? Renewal, doing good. Investing in relationships, recreating, okay? God delights, I believe, when we play. You know, it's about getting off the hamster wheel in some way, or getting off the couch, or away from the screen. What I want to invite you to do. And I forgot to mention in the beginning, but I want you to grab a pen, a piece of paper, pencil, something real quick. Get your phone out, open, go to your notes, however you want to do this, but grab that really quick, because I want you to do something that I think will help each one of us. I want you to write down three things, okay? Just write down three things that renew you. Three things that you love doing. Three things that bring you joy, okay? Three simple things, okay? I'm not talking about taking a cruise. Okay, yeah, those do those things, but you know, that's not something we can always do. So three simple things that you love to do that bring you joy, that helps renew you, okay? And I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to put a clock up on the screen here to do that. So write down three things, all right? Three things that bring you joy, that renew you. Now, go. I want you to look at your list. And I want to encourage you to do more of these things, these three things that you have listed. All right? Rather than simply running on that hamster wheel, all right? Or simply doing nothing at all. Remember the Sabbath, says God. Don't let your rest become laziness, because laziness produces selfishness. All right. Sabbath is for the glory of God and for the good of others. Remember the Sabbath. Find your own ways of rest and renewal. All right, because it's different for each of us. But remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Don't leave God out of the Sabbath. Okay? Don't leave God out of the Sabbath. Even, you know, even when you take the time to rest and to recreate and to renew, make sure that God is a part of the Sabbath. Maybe this year it is to be in worship, either online or in person, each week. To make that a priority. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Because when you do that, here's what will happen. Your faith will grow deeper. I believe your stress will be lowered. Your mental health will be improved. I think your work week may even be more productive. Your relationships will grow stronger. If each one of us would simply do what? Say it with me. Remember the Sabbath and treat it as holy. Let us pray. God, you know what we wrote down on the pieces of paper. You know how we allow God to creep into we allow work, not God, work to creep into our Sabbath rest. You know how we've made excuses for all of these things. You know how little time we set aside for you and how much time we waste on other things, on social media, on our screens, on our phones. You know we're not always intentional and doing things that renew our relationships with our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our friends. We don't always remember the Sabbath, O Lord, and so please forgive us. We come to you this day seeking your forgiveness, and help us to recognize that the Sabbath is actually a gift from you. Help us to be people that revere you on the Sabbath, who gather to worship you, who find rest and renewal, O Lord. And I pray, O Lord, just for the rest of this day, help us to play, help us to rest, help us to renew for all these things in your holy name. Amen.